Hello and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. Today's Sunday, May the 4th. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
I'm Ash Riot.
And we're Hologram.
We are half of Hologram.
Well, that's how it feels now.
Yes. I am very, very, very sad, and Cheryl is very sad, and everyone's very sad, because we have a very sad announcement.
Well, we actually, our dog, the dog that I got and has become our mascot dog for the band.
My best friend.
Ash's best friend, my best friend, many people's best friends, the best friends of Ash's students passed away yesterday morning. And it was a rough 2 weeks. He was sick. We thought he had just a syndrome called vestibular syndrome. It's idiopathic, so the vet was originally looks like it was a brain tumor that became an aggressive cancer. That's what she said. And so the last 2 weeks have been really rough. The poor guy had a spell and was basically incapacitated for the majority of the last 2 weeks. He had a couple of miraculous recoveries that we thought maybe he's not really sick. Maybe he'll pull through this. Maybe he does just have the vestibular syndrome and it's not a life-threatening thing. But unfortunately, I think he was just basically willing himself to be here because he didn't want to leave, we feel, as much as we didn't want him to leave either. And so it's been a very emotional, very trying, physically trying 2 weeks with him being so sick and lack of sleep for everyone. And and Ash had surgery, another one. She's not...
I just realized my mouth is bleeding now.
Oh.
Yeah, I got all four of my wisdom teeth removed on Tuesday, and it was a bit more complicated than regular people, so it hurts very much, and I'm still going through a lot of pain, and it kind of sucks.
Yeah, so here we are. We originally scheduled our show tonight was going to be readings and reflections and what we had promised 6 weeks ago, and we were going to donate our time and our attention to all of you listeners in giving free readings for this show. And we will do that if you would like to call in and get a reading, but we, because of our recent...
We didn't promote it.
Yeah, we didn't promote it, and because of our, the illness of Travis and his death, we just kind of thought, we're going to talk about death, because this is very real, very raw. It's something we have touched upon in past shows. Ash was saying today, she goes, we talk about death a lot, and I was thinking about what you said, Ash, and... We have done some shows in talking about death, but also talking about the afterlife, the transformation that death is, the continuation of energy that, it's basically just, transformation. It's like stepping into another room. But when we're in this physical plane, when we're in this physical reality, death feels extremely final. And even with our knowledge, Ash and I, of what death is based on our personal experience around it, as not being a finality, as not being the ending of all. I know that many people, probably be some of you out there listening, believe that death is final, that it's basically just an end of your existence and what, into nothingness perhaps, but that's not our belief at all based on our experience. And so even with that knowing, that Travis, our dear little Travis, has just basically transformed, it still doesn't make the feeling of loss go away or any less poignant. And this is the thing about death. My personal experience with death, everybody has a different experience with death. Some people, I've actually met people who say they've never had a death of someone that they care about or something, whether it's a pet. And so they don't really have a relationship to it other than it's kind of a thing that's out there or, you know, something that we don't really want to talk about because it's almost taboo in the sense of people are quite uncomfortable talking about death in general. And I think it's important that we talk about it. I think it's important that we recognize...
I just coughed there. So
that we recognize, you know, we recognize death. It's not pretending it doesn't exist. It's also not obsessing over it. You know, our own deaths, for example, or the death of our friends or people that we love. I know that there's some people that are extremely frightened that the people that they love will die, and who will they be when they do? And there's the fear of the unknown and fear of change. And having the ending of the physical relationship. And so with my own relationship to death, as a very young child, I lost 3 significant people in my life within the span of a year. And that was my father, my godfather, who was also my uncle, my mother's only brother, and my grandfather, my mother's father. And so, you know, that those deaths for me were, as a child of 8, were very significant because when you're a child, you feel that there is nothing that can cause you harm. You have this sense of safety. And then this idea of death is just, it's almost unfathomable. And to have someone tell you that your father or someone that you love very deeply and feel a connection with as a child is gone, it's extremely devastating. And it actually basically kind of shaped my idea of death. And I think for me, it was at that time, it just felt like a big gaping hole. It didn't make sense to me. It's almost, I don't know, it's as if life betrayed me. It's hard to describe. It's hard to put into words, but I'm just going from my personal experience. And I'm sure that many of you who are listening have had deaths of probably parents, maybe siblings, maybe even your partners or children, which are, I think, is especially difficult. Having a very, very close friend of mine lose her son a few years ago and going through that with her, the death of a child is, again, unfathomable to me. But death in general, I think it's just our viewpoint and how it affects us. Now, here we are grieving the death of a dog, of an animal. Some people would say that's ridiculous. It's just an animal. They don't have a connection to animals. People who are pet, I don't like to even use the word owners. It's kind of a symbiotic relationship that you have with this animal. They own you as much as you own them, if you're going to use that word ownership. And I'm so grateful to have known this dog. He was a rescue from Orange County, California. When I got him, I was told that he was 5 years old. We later figured out that that wasn't true. He was an older dog, but he still wasn't old enough to die of old age. I had imagined that I would have a good 10 years with him. I got him 3 weeks after my other beloved pet. Her name was Anna. She was a brown Labrador retriever. I got her as a puppy, and I had her for over 16 years. We had a really wonderful, long life together. And when she passed away, this dog had presented itself to me. And, you know, I was kind of wondering if I should get a dog so quickly after having Anna for so long and losing her. And it had nothing to do with replacement. It was about, I felt that this dog was a dog in need. And even the woman who had rescued him had made a statement that she was worried that nobody would want him. And that in and of itself to me is get that dog, because I certainly am one for the underdog and always have been. And so here we are you know, the it's very fresh. It only happened, you know, less than 2 days ago, just over 24 hours ago. And, you know, it's we've been tired. We're exhausted, actually. Ash has been exhausted because of her surgery. I've been spending a lot of time with Travis. He wasn't sleeping. And, you know, it's amazing how we process death. And most of us are familiar with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's stages of grief. And I think it's interesting, you know, how we have the different stages where it's disbelief. You've got this, you know, it's almost this denial, the anger, you know, the anger towards God or universe or whatever power is out there that would take away, even maybe anger at death itself. And then finally, you know, then the bargaining with this power, you know, trying to make it, will it away, make it different. And finally, resignation and acceptance. But I'm just in this state now of dealing with death. I thought that it would be, both Ash and I thought it would be something we should talk about since we're in it. And for those of you who are perhaps even in it, whether you have the death of a pet or you have someone in your life who's terminally ill and you're facing their death, and that idea and that questioning of what will it be like on the other side of it. For me, I think the most important thing when Travis was going through his illness was to be very much in the moment with him. And instead of going in the future off to where, you know, what it would be like without him, trying to stay in the moment and stay in love. And it's still, you know, I still second guess myself. I still go back and say I could have done something differently or.
Well, he passed away when none of us were there with him. It was like we were both spending a lot of time with the dog, and I was on the phone and Cheryl was doing something and.
I was cleaning up after the party.
So anyway, in like a 10-second, we were maybe not with him watching him because he needed constant care. Maybe for about 1.5 minutes. And in that 1.5 minutes, he passed away when no one was with him. And I remember just Cheryl saying that he's dead. And I come over and I just can't believe it. And I'm thinking, how did he die? Like, I remember just not being able to even understand how his heart could have stopped or something. How he could have just died. And I just held his body for probably about 30 minutes in total. Just kissing him and kissing his cute little doggy lips and his nose and, you know, just petting him after he died. And I love him so much. And it just got me to thinking more about death. And, of course, I've always been paranoid of death in a way. And I never would have ever before even looked at a body after it died. And there I was holding Travis. So I had to confront a lot of fears and just a lot of different, you know, old ways of thinking. And it's amazing how different experiences can just take you to places you didn't think you could go.
Yeah, and I was saying, like, you're a good example of what I was saying. You haven't had a lot of experience with death. You've had your grandmother and your auntie pass away. Mm-hmm. But really, like, I don't know how close you were.
I wasn't as close, like, as I am to Travis. I know that sounds weird, but I'm a lot closer with Travis than most of my family besides my parents. Like, me and Travis, you know, he was my best dog friend.
Isn't it interesting, too, and it's that we truly can have these deep relationships with animals? And this is why I'm so convinced of the soul of an animal. And I think it's sad when someone just kind of relegates animals to almost this place of, like, non-importance.
Like, they're ours to use, kind of.
Yeah,
thing.
Like, we can use them, we can abuse them, we can eat them, we can, you know, hit them when we want to. And I just find that so sad.
I know.
So sad. And, I mean, I'm guilty. I have been a meat eater for most of my life. I mean, I've been vegetarian for short periods of time, too. But, I'm guilty in that way, and having this kind of being brought up that this is what you do. And I don't think that there's anything, I have no judgment on myself, nor do I have judgment on any others. But what I'm getting at is just recognizing the impact that each of our choices have on what we choose to eat, what we choose to love, what we choose to support, you know, whether it's with our time or with our finances, our energy, what causes we choose to believe in. And this whole idea of death, it's amazing how death forces us to ponder. It forces us to face a lot of our fears. It forces us to face our emotions. And what I was getting at with regards to my having death be part of my life so soon, the way I is I pushed it out. And it's only as I grew up and as I went through adulthood and dealt with my own personal issues that I was able to finally come to terms and relationship with death. But it took a long time. It wasn't something that I was just comfortable with and it was okay. It took me a long time to be okay with it. I'm allowing myself to feel the feelings that I have instead of pushing them away or distracting myself with other things, keeping myself busy so I won't think and feel. I think that's one of the most important things we can do for ourselves is when we have deaths that are affecting us, to feel the feelings, to cry. I'm bursting out in tears. I was working last night and I DJed a bar mitzvah. So of course I want to be all about joy because it's this little boy's celebration and his friends are all happy and everybody's happy and I'm happy with them too, but there's that deep sense of sadness that's underneath. And so I would be just behind the DJ booth and suddenly just start to cry and try to keep it so nobody could see. And it was quite challenging, but my point is just allowing the feelings. And even if you're not wanting to cry, instead of questioning yourself and going, what's wrong with me? Why aren't I sad?
I've never cried at a death before.
Well, I never did even for my fathers, for any of them, because that was how I dealt with this. I pushed it away, but now I'm allowing the feelings of sorrow and sadness and loss. And it just hurts me. It hurts my heart to think I can't just hold him again or touch him in the physical world. I know he's continued. I know that. But it's different. Mm-hmm. It's still different because I can't just reach out and touch him. I can't, I'm not caring for him anymore. I'm not feeding him every morning and you know, every evening. It's in walking him. It's still very fresh and it's just a process. And I think that's what I'm trying to share. I think it's important that we share very honestly with you our experience around this death and maybe just allow the vulnerability that I think lays within each and every one of us.
Agreed. Well, it's now that special time to bring you Ash's Mom.
It's Ash's Mom, it's Ash's Mom, it's Ash's Mom. It's Ash's Mom, it's Ash's Mom, it's Ash's Mom.
Hey, Janice.
Hello, how's my girls?
Good, how are you doing?
I know. Good, you know what? Like you said that you don't grieve, you don't cry. I just noticed that. Because here with Travis, and I know how much you love him, and here's me. All day yesterday, you know, for days before, crying and looking at you, feeling your pain, but you didn't cry. So I'm trying not to cry because I want to make it easier on you. And that's what it's been, and I just realized it now.
You realize what now, that I don't usually cry?
For death.
Yeah, I never can. I'm not comfortable with it. And this is the first time that I've cried.
I know. But I've been holding, remember I've been saying to you, I'm holding back because I don't want to upset you. I don't want to, you know, make you cry. But, you know, crying is good. But I want to talk about Travis's birthday party.
Okay.
He was sick, and this was on the 26th, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, only a few days ago.
Well, he was pretty crippled up by then, and he was wearing his diaper, and he was better even, I think, on the last day at your dinner party than he was that day. But they had him on a pillow, and he was in his diaper and stuff, and I went and I got him for his birthday a tuxedo. And it's from PetSmart, and it's a real wedding tuxedo, like, you know, the nice material and the little shirt and the pants that kind of fit on. It's all one piece, and then the little glittery bow tie, the black one, and we put him in his little I just want to talk about his birthday. So he's in his little tuxedo, and I baked him an angel food cake with dog bones on it. And
he loved his angel food cake.
He ate it for days. That's all he ate was his angel food cake. I called him my grand dog, and I just loved him so much.
Yes.
And we had... We had a burrito dinner for us, lunch, and we just...
You brought over birthday hats.
We had birthday hats, and we put Travis in a birthday hat and his little tuxedo, and he just looked wonderful. And I know that he knows that we were celebrating his birthday, because he did open his eyes. And remember, that night is the night that he went out for a walk, and he actually walked. Remember that? And
yep,
you took videos of it.
So that was when we were thinking, oh, wow, he's made a miraculous recovery.
Yes, yes. But now I'm thinking back on it and thinking maybe it was his birthday, his celebration, and he knew, you know, and singing his birthday song and putting the cake beside him and just everything. And we weren't celebrating. I mean, we weren't grieving. We weren't that he was ill. We were celebrating that he was alive and he was with us and having his birthday and how much fun we were having. And there was laughter in the house and me singing my crazy song, Travis McTavish, to him. And it was about joy. It was about the joy of having him. And I know that once we get over the grief, because like you said, Cheryl, it's a process. But once we get over the grief, we'll be singing that song again, and we'll be thinking about him, and, you know, in a happy way. We're missing him so much.
And I guess that's a lesson that everybody can apply to their life, is that, you know, once they get over grief, which they will, even if it doesn't seem like they will, they can experience the joy again.
The memory.
And even like our good friend whose husband is passing right now, or close to passing. And she's very much focusing on having joy with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing.
Sharing laughter, the importance of laughter and you know, staying in that state of joy, even when it feels heartbreaking. Because, of course, when you're losing someone, when they're ill, terminally ill, it's heartbreaking. And I just think it's so important that even with Travis, we're just trying to not stay in the sickness. I acted as normally as I could with him. And we didn't, you know, I said to you, are you sure you want to buy this tuxedo? Because it didn't look good that he would actually last. And I'll never forget you saying, yes, I want him to have it, even if he wears it once. And so, you know, doing things like that, not being concerned about anything other than just being in the joy, being in the joy of life, which is beautiful, and which is what our friend is doing with her family, and which is what we did with Travis. And of course, you're going to have your moments where you kind of lose it a bit, but, you know, coming back to the joy. And I'm so glad now, because hindsight, now that he is gone, now that he's died, I'm really glad that I did some of the things that I did and acted normal and treated him normally, and, you know, as opposed to just getting sucked into the despair and the sadness of loss. And you know, I'm glad that I made those choices. But I mean, it comes down, it's always about our choices. And I beat myself up a little over some of the choices I made, but, you know, you can't do that either. You just got to let that go and trust that the love that you share, whether it's with an animal or with your human family or friends, the love is really all that matters. It's really all that matters.
And I know, and look at how he responded that evening. He went out for a walk and he ate angel food cake.
Yeah, and he wasn't eating anything, and the fact that he would have that angel food cake, yeah.
And how he responded to that. And he'd look at, and his eyes were so, he was closed, and he was lying there on his little bed in the middle of the living room, and I started to sing to him this Travis McTavish song, and he opened his eyes, and then I sang it to him again and again, and then he just looked at me and says, oh, can someone shut her up? I heard it once, that's enough. And even that last night with him at the dinner party, and being with him and holding him and hugging him and kissing him, and he knew, like, you know, he knows. He'd look at you and his eyes would open. He'd hear your voice. And that's why I truly believe that. I believe more animals than people are, like, you know, my grandma used to say, animals see the face of God, and they've seen the face of God. That's why they can't talk. That's why they can't speak, because they know the secret. And then, as you own animals and you look at it, animals don't kill for just pleasure. Animals eat when they're hungry. Animals don't lie. Animals don't cheat. Like, you look at animals, and it's so true. Their soul is so pure, and it's people that get these animals and sometimes raise them, and they have to go into these places where Travis came from. It's the meanness of human beings that puts them there, because they aren't born like that. So anyway, I just thought I'd give you my two cents and just acknowledge Travis and how much I loved him, and that sign on the back of my car, I love my grand dog, will stay there forever.
Oh, thank you so much, Janice. You were a big part of his life, and
I know, I miss him.
Oh, we all do. Thank you for the love you gave him, because
it was easy to love him.
Yeah.
And he did his little circles before he had his meal. Anyway,
you got trained. You're a proud grandma, and thank you for calling in, because I mean, maybe certain people are going through the same thing right now with humans or animals, which I think is the same thing.
Oh, yes, it is.
Very much the same.
So anyway, have a good night, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
And we'll talk again. I love you.
We love you too.
Bye.
Hi. Thank you, dear mother, for calling in, and she's taken such good care of us. You know, she made us dinner tonight, so we didn't have to cook.
Yeah.
And we've just been beside ourselves, and just, you know, it's been crazy. So thank you, Janice.
One foot in front of the other, doing the tasks that are before us.
And I think it's really important for anyone who's going through that kind of thing, you know, losing an animal, to know that it's okay to grieve no matter what anybody says. Grieve them like they are a person, because they are.
Grieve them how you feel. I mean, what Janice was saying about animals have that purity, I truly believe that. And they do, you know, anyone who's a pet owner, pet co-owner, they own you, knows the love that you get from an animal. It's truly unconditional, and it's not something that most humans can even give. So it's quite something to have an attachment. And I've had the privilege of transitioning with three animals that were close to me in my lifetime. And one was a cat, and then my dog Anna, and Travis. And I feel honored. And each of these animals, except for Anna, I had to take her to the vet last minute. She was in extreme distress. And as soon as I got her in there, they euthanized her, because she was in a lot of, she couldn't breathe. And but the other animals I made sure they were at home and they were comfortable. And I do feel very strongly that if an animal can pass at home, I think it's preferable for them, for the most part. And of course, you're going to take your animal in. If you see them in distress, you're going to take them into the vet. That's a definite. However, if your animal is comfortable at home and you're comfortable being with them as they die, I highly recommend that. I basically took 2 weeks out of my life. I was very much housebound with Travis. And I don't regret that one single bit. And I think that sometimes we feel that life is, you know, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, I've got to do this, I can't, not do this. And I really feel strongly that it's okay to just say no to things for a while. And I'm really grateful for that time because I learned more. It wasn't so much about what Travis was getting from me looking after him, because it was very much about looking after an invalid. I was, he was incontinent. He was very sick and unable to do anything for himself. We had to feed him, had to give him water, had to take him outside to try to get him to go to the washroom, but otherwise it was diapering him. I feel that he has given me so much in being able to do that, to put my life, to realize what's important. And what really truly is important is all our relationships. It's love in expression. And I was able to have that experience, and it was because of him.
Yeah, I know. It's just too much. It's too much to think about sometimes. I don't know. I've never had that connection. I love my cat. I love Mushu more than anything. But, Travis and I connected on a very one-of-a-kind level. So it's just been really tough to be without him. And I urge any of you who are going through the same thing to, if your animal is passing away, just to spend that time with them and give them that attention. And I know that this show probably isn't reaching a wide variety of people right now, because the happy people who are listening are changing the channel.
Going, oh, I don't got to talk about death and dying animals.
But you know
that's
what?
That's so morbid.
Even if there's one person out there who needs to hear it tonight, that's who we're doing the show for.
Plus, there's always the archives. I truly believe that spirit will lead us to what we need when we need it. And a person perhaps in the future will be going through this and stumble upon this archived show. And to you, blessings. And I just feel, I think it's so important that we're open to death, that we don't fear death, that of course we live our lives to the fullest, but we also recognize what's truly important. If we have friends or animals that are transitioning, that are dying, the importance of spending time with them. I was in relationship with someone who was extremely afraid of sickness and death, and so he denied himself so much because he couldn't handle it. And I felt for him, it's not an easy thing to handle, but it's not an easy thing to not handle. There's my double negative, but face your fears full on and see the beauty and the majesty in behind the fear.
Yeah.
And death is, something that's part of why we're here. Nobody's getting out alive. We all know that.
That's what startled me yesterday about Travis, was just knowing that, life just seemed almost too fragile to me at that moment, thinking, him into the vet to have him, die and all of this, and actually get an injection to make his heart stop, and it stopped on its own, and I was just in shock.
The fact that our bodies can give out like that?
Yeah, that his body gave out and something, the disease took over or whatever. It was just too much. It's too much. I can't, that's something I can't think about.
So in terms of his death or in terms of your own death or death in general?
His, but also death in general. I've always been the type of person too who has been very afraid of death. Too afraid of death, where it's crippled me at times. But, in the last few years, I've kind of overcome that and, become less paranoid. But just seeing death that close. If anyone wants to give us a call, if they've had that kind of experience, call in. Or, just call in for any reason, if you just want to share something. But just seeing death that close yesterday that was, I mean, I held a body.
Yes, you did.
And I've never even looked at a dead body. I can't even look at one. But I held one and kissed my dog on his lips. Your dog, but my dog too, I guess. I'm in the band.
He became our dog. He became everyone's, your father's, your mom's, your relations.
Yeah.
Our
Sonia,
friends.
Mike.
Yeah. He became everyone's dog. He had that, and your students.
Oh, my students loved him.
Yeah, he had that that effect on people.
Travis's favorite thing was to come to work with me, and as soon as a student would ring the doorbell, he'd jump off the couch and go running to them.
Yeah, he knew he had a job, and that was so fascinating to me because it was like his job. He was a co-teacher.
He'd come upstairs with the kids and he'd just sit beside them.
Yeah, in the teaching room.
And then when the kid was done, he'd walk them down, bring the next one up, and sit there.
And fall asleep. And that was the beautiful thing about him is that
he just
truly
wanted to be with them.
He loved music. He, you know, every time we did any recording, any time we did any practicing, rehearsals, whatnot, writing even, he was there. He would just settle in and fall asleep. And, you know, banging on the drums and playing the bass loud and playing the guitar loud.
We've written all our songs with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not
most
all of them.
But not from the very beginning.
The beginning was Anna with For Me.
Yeah.
And then he came in our lives in 2010.
Yeah.
Did he not?
Yeah.
In September mm-hmm. of 2010. So, 2010 or 2011? No, 2011.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's
so, 11. Yeah. So he hasn't been with us quite 3 years and... It wasn't long enough,
mm-mm.
I'll say that. But, if we can encourage anybody out there to just focus on the love and you don't want to be left regretting anything you said or done, did, when someone's passing. It's a hard point of life. One thing, you know, you say you have never saw a dead body. First dead body I saw was my father, actually. And
you saw his body?
Yes, I did. And I'm really glad that my mother allowed us to, because it was an open casket. And I know that a lot of people are afraid to see dead bodies. And my mother wanted us to see him so that we would truly see that he was gone. And I thought that was one of the best things. I'm so glad that she did that because it wasn't morbid. I was young and I saw that he wasn't in the body. And so mm-hmm. it helped me to let go of him because I can't imagine if it was a closed casket. I mean, you could put anything in there. And someone's telling me my father's dead, and I'm going, well, really, is he?
Yeah, exactly.
So seeing him was very important. And I feel the same way when I've been with the animals that have died, able to, you know, be there for them when they pass, to hold them, to, you know, it's another way of letting go, mm-hmm. is to see, to view the bodies. And so I'm really grateful for that. You know, just it sort of finalizes something for you. Now, it doesn't make it easier that they're gone, but it makes it, I don't know how to describe it, but there's a finality. There's a, it's kind of like you've allowed it to be. It's like you allow it to be a reality at a different level, as opposed to just kind of, maybe he's not dead. What about all these, you know, people that have passed away, and you've got lots of people that have these theories that they're not really gone, they're just faking their deaths. And to be able to see the body, of course, allows you that.
Exactly.
And to go through that.
Even if you're seeing the body, even like I saw Travis's body today on my way to the house, because I had to work today and do some taxes, it hit me again that he died, and I just started to cry, and I couldn't even drive. I was crying so hard, and it was just because it's like you forget for a moment, even though you've seen the body, you forget, and you go, and because things feel normal for a minute, then you forget that they're gone. So I think that seeing the body is good because you'll go back to that, but regardless, you're still gonna forget.
Yeah, and that's because it's, you know, you're so used to having that person, that animal in your life, and it almost feels like a ripping. I'll never forget that sense of something was ripped away from me.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to come to terms with that ripping. It's pretty devastating. And as I said, having gone through that with friends who have lost in big ways too, and see their ripping, it's just, there are no words. You can't console anybody in that state. All we can simply be is there for them. And the last thing anybody who loses someone wants to hear is basically, I know how you feel. We can imagine, and we could say, I've gone through this myself, but how do I know what someone else is feeling? Because they're completely separate from me. I can empathize. I know personally what it's like to lose someone who's really close to me. But if someone in my circle or someone that I know has lost someone, how can I say, I know what you feel? I think that's something that is not very respectful, personally. I can't say I know what you feel, but I can say I'm here for you. And I am so sorry. And of course, we don't wish those that we love to go through pain, the pain of separation. You know, it's a devastating to go through. And so it's not minimizing the loss, whether it's an animal or your father or your auntie or your grandma or your brother, you know, or your child. It's not minimizing anything. It's just recognizing that these losses are big for each of us. And instead of putting judgments on it, going, well, it was just a dog, or it was just a cat, or it was just an aunt you hardly knew. How can we put those kind of judgment calls on anybody's loss? We can't.
It's easy for people to judge in any circumstance. I mean, I see as a teacher that people are most hard on themselves. I was teaching this one boy today who's just amazing at guitar, named Connor, and he's 12. And he's just gotten so good so fast. And he just lives a couple doors down from my parents and where I teach. And he's so hard on himself. I always tell him how impressed I am. And clearly anybody would be impressed seeing this kid play guitar for 6 months. And it's like he can't quite allow himself to feel excited. And I see that a lot of people are most harsh judging of themselves. And I think that just knowing that, I can tie that into death. That's the theme of our show, is that I've always judged myself for my emotions around death. I've always judged myself because I can't cry. And then I judge myself if I feel like I have to cry. And then if I cry, I'm extremely uncomfortable and vulnerable. And it's just like I could just seriously hide under a rock for a year. Like, there's almost like a shame in crying for me. And so what you were saying about judgment, I mean, people can, it comes in all shapes. Like, you know, it's kind of been, this is the first time with death I haven't been judgmental of myself, but you know, I'm seeing people judge themselves all around me for other things, and I don't get it.
I had this similar, actually, texting conversation with my friend today, and we're talking about our own insecurities and how we look at each other. She has a friend who's a well-known actor, and she was saying how he, you know, there's a sense of insecurity there that she looks at him and goes, how could you have this? And and I feel that way about all of us. You know, someone can look at me and think, wow, she's strong or whatever. How can she have insecurities? Well, I do. We all do. And I think that's the thing is, there's that saying is, we judge our insides by other people's outsides. And recognizing the vulnerability in each other, and even if we see someone who has great fame or great wealth or great power, they too are vulnerable. And we're all the same. And this is where we're the same. We're the same in our vulnerabilities. We're the same in our, you know, the fact that there's insecurities there. You can have confidence, of course, and we all have confidence to a degree, but even in that confidence, there's you know, insecurity. And I think that's just where we're coming back to self-judgment. I think that's where all of that lies, is we kind of, I'm a really harsh critic of myself. Mm-hmm. And I have certain expectations around what I should be able to do, what I should be doing. You know, that whole word should, which I don't like. But I do get caught up in that, Cheryl, why aren't you doing this? And get this done. And this isn't done well enough, or that's not good enough. And it's a hard place to be, because it's kind of like having your own mental mother, naggy mother. You never quite own up to being good enough. And it's just yourself. It's not a naggy mother or, you know, father figure, whatever. It's you. And I think from just being able to share what I've shared with the people that I have in the past, and to get to know a lot of people and you know, one-on-one in very deep ways, I recognize how similar we are as opposed to the differences. So it doesn't matter what gender we are, what color our skin is, what religious faith we prescribe to. We're all the same, man. We're all the same. And I think it's really important for us to recognize that, and also to acknowledge the differences in that we're unique as people, as separate souls. So we can be connected, which we are, but we can also allow each other to be separate, and not judge ourselves, not judge each other. Sometimes it's hard to do, because judgment is about separation, and it keeps us safe. A lot of us judge because it keeps us away from people, keeps us away from close, any kind of intimacy. Judgment is like a wall. But things like death, grave illness, the loss of something big, whether it's a career or a marriage, these things are what really brings us to our knees and takes us to places that we didn't even know we had within us. And it also allows us to connect on a deeper level to all that is, to each other, to what's important in life, to what we value. And as I said, you know, those 2 weeks of not being able to get all my shit done was fine. I willingly let that go. And I'm so glad now in hindsight that I did. Mm-hmm. Of course, during the time, I didn't know that he would be dying ultimately. I had an idea. But now that he is gone, I can look back on those 2 weeks and that we ask ourselves when we go through these deep transitions. And I'm glad you cried. And I'm glad that you can cry. And I'm glad that you were able to hold him after he passed and talk to him and have that experience.
I wonder if animals know before they're going to die that they're going to die.
I think they do, and I think most people do. I think, you know, unless it's an accident, I think there's a lot of people that know when they're going to pass, too. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's, sometimes we don't want to know. Yeah. I mean, if anybody out there, if you were given the choice of knowing exactly when you would die or not, how many would choose to know? I don't think, I'd say most of us would choose not to know. Because how can you imagine if, you know, you were given that, you're saying, okay, here you go. You can know, and you're given a date, exact time, everything, place, all of it. What about if it was 20 years in your future? How would you live in those 20 years? Would you just basically be living, oh my God, always thinking you're going to be dead in 20 years? Or would you just live life to the fullest? So I don't know. I think, you know, these are big questions that we always ask ourselves in terms of our mortality in the physical world. So I don't know. I wouldn't want to know. Would you?
No, not of course not. And I think that's, you know, the fear of that. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when you get through something and then you make it through the other side, you think, oh, I'm so relieved. And, you know, you're so happy that you've made it through a tough situation or possibly a fatal situation. I mean, look at me in my surgeries. Every time after I come back from anesthetic, I'm telling the doctors they're handsome. And
it's the drugs.
And I'm not necessarily attracted to them at all. I think it's just that I'm so happy that I made it out, that I'm calling them handsome. Never thought I'd see another person again.
Thank you, handsome doctor, for letting me live.
Yeah.
For fixing me and letting me live.
It's kind of the same thing. I mean, you come out of a really crazy, harsh situation with your life still, and you realize how precious it is and how fragile it is. And, you know, you watch other people pass away. I'm lying on the floor with a dog. And, you know, I could just feel his eyes. They were cold. And I could feel his mouth, and it was cold, and his lips were cold. And, you know, it was the first time I ever felt death. But I loved him. I love him so much that there's no way that I couldn't. So, yeah, I just, no matter what, even if I didn't want to feel death that close, it's like something else takes over. And everybody's just petrified of death. And there I was with it right beside me.
Before you, yeah, right there.
And it was just, yeah.
Well, I think it's interesting your mom's sharing very honestly how she stops herself from crying because she doesn't want to upset you. And we do that. I know I've done that too, especially with your children. You know, you, of course, want to be strong for your kids and be the one who's their rock. But I also feel it's really important for shared tears and shared emotion and to just allow things to flow as opposed to push them back. And I know the reasons why we push them back were, you know, again, it's about wanting to care and show support for those around us. However, there's nothing wrong, I believe, in allowing it to flow. And the one decision I made when I was 8 years old and I heard of the death of my father and my mother and brother were sitting on the couch. I'll never forget this. It's seared into my memory. I was, and they were behind me sitting on a couch together, my mother holding my brother, and they were weeping, and I was standing by the window, and I refused to cry, and I refused to go join them. And that kind of just set the tone for how I dealt with death. And now, in the last several years, I've been able to reconcile myself to it and with it. And I would like to eventually be working more with people who are dealing with death because I feel that I've had the journey of it and it will continue because life is also going to be about death and the death of those close to us and not even those that we know that affect us. We hear about celebrity deaths, and if we're thinking that we're connecting to them either by their film work or by their music, then we also feel a loss. There's been a lot of celebrity deaths that...
Look at all the people who killed themselves after Kurt Cobain died.
I know, it's just horrible. Like, that's sad. That makes me really sad. Suicides especially poignant to me. But I, we even feel the death of those how we have some kind of a kinship, a connection to, even though we've never met them. So death definitely does affect us all.
And thank you for listening to us, you know, ramble on about our beloved boy, and we hope that you could get something out of our experiences.
Yes, and we love you, and continue to live your lives, and love, kiss trees. We're asking Doug if he would be so kind as to play the Fusion, our song, the hologram song, the Fusion, as we end our program.
So enjoy your evening, enjoy your Sunday, and... thank you. Thank you for everything. Kiss a tree.
We love you.
Universe encompasses me beneath the stars above the sea. Enthralled on earth watching you. Knowing I have a part in this too. Thanklessly watching, wait for dim eyes, severing my old earthly disguise. Thrilled and buzzed watching you. Knowing we have a part in this too. This is a world of illusion, so I honor all delusion. Be not bound the fusion. forgotten thieves, pressed upon these autumn leaves. Angelic hosts be known to us, falling faster than we trust. Watch the circles born of light, speaking while we're all up all night. This is a world of illusion, so I honor all delusion. Be not vapid with exclusion, bring all love in for the fusion. We live in a world of illusion. It serves us, yet we must come back to love. The love revolution is within each and every one of us. A knowing, a higher understanding. We all embrace it. All we have to do